everybody. Welcome to the inaugural episode of The Current Conversation. This is going to be a very electrifying podcast. Excuse my excessive puns. I can't help it. It's fun.
It's going to spark some thought.
That's what podcasts are. See what I did there? You got to do that. Yeah, see? She got it. Of course. This woman needs no introduction, but she asked that I come in and have a little conversation with her on the first one, and I think that you're going to see that she is going to take command of this podcast and bring us some incredible things, some incredible insight. But first, we should probably find out who she is. So without further ado, my name is Matt Major. I'm from Growth Mode Content, the host of this podcast. Go ahead and say hello.
All right. So I am your host, and I appreciate that introduction. Even though you said I didn't need one, but you gave me a good one, so I appreciate that. My name is Shawnee Davis. I am the CEO of Luminary Electrical Contractor, and I am a master electrician. I've been an electrician for 17 years or so, something like that. Wow, I can't even believe it's been that long. But so Luminary Electrical is a commercial and industrial electrical contractor. We are also working in the green energy and sustainability sector, and you know, I'm really looking forward to this podcast. I think that I'm going to learn probably as much as my listeners and viewers are going to learn about green energy and all of the different and very new technologies that are emerging out of the direction that we're going in the electrification of things. So I'm excited to, you know,
Shawnee, we're excited to have you and to get this podcast off the ground and share some of your incredible insights. And I think it was great how you mentioned that you're going to continue to learn, you know, as we bring guests and new insight, new technologies, right, mm-hmm. in this field, that's continually evolving. But let's jump back a step and let's talk about how you evolved to where you are today.
All right. Awesome.
Right.
Awesome.
A lot of folks, I think, don't necessarily understand how you even become an electrician or, as you mentioned, a master electrician. So if you wouldn't mind, give folks a little bit of background on just that process and then, of course, your experience.
Sure, sure. So I started out as an apprentice, a first-year apprentice at the IBEW, which, for those that don't know, is the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. I'm going to add an S in there for sisterhood, okay, just because... I'm not a brother, but so I started out really literally not knowing a thing about electrical other than you go over there, you flip that switch, the light comes on and we're good. And somehow they accepted me into the program, not knowing a thing. But I obviously learned a bunch in my time there. The apprenticeship program is 5 years. And then you become a journey person. Once I topped out of the apprenticeship program, I did a little bit of traveling. I did some solar work.
Wow.
Right in the middle of January in Massachusetts. So, you know, it was nice and warm, toasty, right?
Yeah.
Right in the heart of winter. But so I did some of that kind of work. And honestly, to see... you know, where we've evolved even from when I topped out however long ago in this industry is absolutely crazy. After I traveled a little bit, came back to Syracuse to work, you know, in the IBEW here locally. And then COVID came. And I think COVID was just transformative for a lot of people, and for some people it wasn't great, and for other people it was an amazing, you know, experience.
I'd agree with that. Sure.
You know, for me, I decided to start a business right during COVID, right in 2021.
Hey,
I said,
you know
what, why not?
Gotta have something to do.
I guess if looking for a challenge was a person, here I am, right? And so we started in 2021, and we've grown tremendously. I have a great group of people that support me and that are around me and help me out, especially for the things that I don't know. I have a great staff. Actually, one of my staff members is going to be co-hosting this thing with me, which I'm excited about. He he's funny to himself, so I think you guys will enjoy him. I got a great opportunity back in 2022 to be a part of the announcement of Micron Technologies coming here.
Yeah.
Which was a phenomenal opportunity to introduce President Biden, which
wow.
was really an honor. Really an honor. He's a great guy, and I didn't know what to expect.
Sure.
I mean, it is the President of the United States, right? I also didn't know what to expect in terms of security, but the folks were actually really nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, that kind of skyrocketed things a little bit. And then right after that, that was somewhere around October, I believe, of 2022. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, in 2023, January, February, there was an event at the White House. It was like a woman business event.
Okay.
And the president was speaking at the event, and he took a whole minute of his speech to tell my story.
Wow.
Which... And I didn't know about it. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't find out about it until the next day.
Wow.
Someone from Micron reached out to me, and they're like, hey, what's your email? I gotta send you a link. And I was like, all right, cool. He's like, yeah, the president mentioned you. And when they say mentioned, I'm like, all right, cool. Like, he threw my name in there. You know, president sometime, like such and such from
Syracuse. Yeah, exactly, right.
And so that was what I was expecting.
Sure.
And then I'm sitting there, and I'm 30 seconds in, and I'm like, this guy is still talking about me right now.
That's incredible.
And then he quoted me. And you know what? I could have died that day a happy woman, honestly.
Right?
Really, really, man, that meant a lot to me.
I can imagine.
That meant a lot to me. And so... And since then, before then and since then, things have just gone very well for us. And... You know, I appreciate the opportunity that the IBEW gave me to do that.
Yeah, that's to jump back just a little bit. You mentioned that 5-year apprenticeship. You know, in most jobs, you think we're gonna do a 6-week internship. You know, and then we can go into the workforce.
No,
for electricians, it's 5 years.
5 years. However, you're getting paid all
sure.
5 years, right? So they're paying you to go to school.
You literally learn on the job.
On
Is
the
that
job
a fair
training,
assessment?
Yeah. Yep. On the job, you have there's a class that you do once a week in class, but you know, the majority of the learning that you do really, really comes from the field. And
it's incredible.
The folks, so
seems like there's a lot of professions that could learn from that sort of program. Although it's a challenge, right? Because you know, as we talked about, Micron's coming to town, and we need lots more of you. You need an army of people, right?
Yeah.
But they all, you can't start, you know, this month and be an electrician.
Exactly. You got to start somewhere. And, you know, New York State has a law that you can only have so many apprentices per journeyman.
Oh, wow.
Or so many journeymen per apprentices. So even that's a little bit of a barrier to bringing a ton of folks in, because you have to have two journeymen for one apprentice.
Wow.
So, you know, we're still limited by that.
So, Shawnee, let me ask you, when you were coming up through the system there in your apprenticeship and in your career, there's lots of people who look just like you in the group,
a
right?
A ton of them. I mean, but man, I was surrounded by black women in the industry. I was usually the one and only, whether it be the only woman or the only person of color on a job site. So didn't see a lot of me. And I had to navigate that in a way that I think may not have worked out for some people. But I was blessed enough to be able to navigate that. And I can't really even speak on how. I think it's just a thing that happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I didn't let any of the harsh realities of it discourage me from the goal. And the goal was to make sure that I became a journeywoman electrician.
That's incredible. Now, today we are, 15, 14 years down the road into your career. Do you see that changing at all? Do you see more ladies in your profession?
More,
yeah.
Yes. Still
Not where you'd like
not,
it to be.
Not many.
Yeah.
To be honest, there's just not enough. And there could be a number of reasons why that is. You know, it may not be something that that Black women have been exposed to.
Sure.
You know, or for the ones that have gotten in, it's been a difficult journey. And, you know, I think that's probably the hardest part is you get in and then you have to navigate this this sort of culture in construction. And it's tough.
Sure.
It's tough. And not everyone is built for it. And but, you know, I'm looking to change that as well, to change the narrative on that, that, you know, we can do it. And however I got to help out, you know, someone that decides to come into this industry, I make sure I do. You know, I have conversations. Yeah. I avail myself. You know, folks have my phone number. They can call me because I do believe in this program. I believe that it's a great place to start a career.
Uh-huh.
And I think more people need the opportunity to do so. And, you know, my company provides that opportunity as well.
That's great. Yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, but I'd love to hear kind of your perspective. If you were talking to a teenage young lady, anybody, you know, a woman looking for a new career, not happy with where they're at. And like you said, they probably haven't had a lot of exposure. I mean, I think in general, a lot of these trades, what really goes on, I think most people probably don't have a ton of exposure. But if you were to speak to them, you know, what are some aspects of the job that they might not know that you think might appeal? Or, you know, did you know that you spend your time doing this or something like that? Is there anything that you might first come to mind, that sort of thing?
The first thing that I mention is you gain a skill and you gain knowledge that no one can take from you. And you can literally take that skill and that knowledge anywhere.
That's brilliant.
And be employable.
Yeah.
You'll always have employment. Everyone needs an electrician. And so that right there really, really sparks it. I think the other thing is the benefits that come along with it. I mean, there's, you know, pension, annuity, all of those things that some careers don't even avail, right, to folks. So that's another appeal.
So just from a purely job standpoint, it's just a good job.
It's a great career.
In terms of the traditional job stuff.
It's a great career in terms of that. It's hard on the body, but I think that what people don't know is that, you know, the field of electrical is so vast. Like, there's a reason why the apprenticeship is 5 years.
Sure.
We do everything from, you know, data cabling and fiber.
Wow.
To, you know, industrial work. And you get to see how industrial plants operate and how, you know, once you've wired something up, you get to actually see it work.
Yeah.
I love that. I also love going around the city of Syracuse specifically and looking at projects that I've taken part in and saying, man, I helped build that. I drive around my nieces and nephews. Hey, I helped build that. That is a very fulfilling feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
No, I love that. And especially for you. Like, I'll do a similar thing with my kids. You know, I got a customer in that building. I got a customer. You could drive around and go, see that lit up?
Yeah.
That's because I lit it up. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just up at Syracuse University recently, and I was the forewoman on a project that we put the glycol system in the stairs of Hendricks Chapel, so they don't have to shovel the stairs. It's heated, so they don't have to shovel them anymore. So you walk around and you see the stairs of Hendricks Chapel all clean, and everything else
beautiful.
Has
wow
snow all over it.
That's incredible.
That is probably one of my favorites.
That's incredible. Shawnee, there's so many different things, so many incredible things that we've got going on. But I want to talk about this term that seems to be popping off a lot that we're hearing, the age of electrification. And I'm going to guess that this has something to do with the fact that everything that we do has, you know, electricity involved in it, right?
It does. It does. And so the state of New York is moving in a direction where they're trying to make sure that everything is run off of electricity, sure. Right? I think in an effort to reduce fossil fuels and,
sure.
You know, encourage sustainability. Mm-hmm. But when we think of electrification, this buzzword that happens,
sure.
We're like, oh, that's, it seems so afar off, but I mean, we're right into the thick of it right now. You know, EV charging stations to innovations in lighting and DC power and mm-hmm. how that's making a come up. And so there's so many things that are happening right now that we just don't. Smart grids is another yeah. thing that people are like, what is that, right? These are things that I want to make sure that I talk about on this podcast and make sure that, you know, tell everyone else with it what's going on around there, the new stuff.
You know, we constantly hear, I guess, the biggest gripe when anybody talks about EVs or these things is we can't handle it. The grid can't handle it.
Yeah.
What's your professional take on that?
In some instances, I agree. I think we have a lot of work to do in terms of making sure that our grid can handle it. But I also think that with these new and emerging technologies, we'll get to the point where these smart grids, as we talk about, will help sustain and help the grid to be able to handle those kinds gotcha. Of things. You know, these smart grids are meant to be sustainable for specific locations, but those smart grids can also feed back into the grid
oh, wow.
to help the grid sustain. So
that's incredible. That's, you know, that always seemed to be is, you know, oh, we have these challenges, but that's also what we're working on,
yeah.
right? That's,
yeah.
that's what we're rising to the occasion.
It's part of it.
How does your business as a, you know, I think of an electrical contractor, I'm building a new house and you're the one that gives me lights and outlets. Mm-hmm. But obviously it goes much more. How does a business like yours get into this modern, this green energy type of stuff?
Yeah. You know what? We invest in our education, right? In our knowledge about what the different aspects of sustainability are. I think that having the background and knowledge and learning about what's happening around us puts us a little bit ahead of the game.
100%.
So that investment in our education, along with partnerships with companies that are, you know, creating these technologies,
yeah.
we're ahead of the game. So
yeah.
we know that when all of these things really start rolling out, we're already knowledgeable about what's coming and what's happening.
What of all this stuff, and I can see how passionate you are yeah. about this, and I love that.
Yeah.
I love when people are into what they do yeah. this much, you know?
Yeah.
What's one of these technologies that really gets you most excited? Was it you've mentioned the smart grid a couple times and maybe that's it, but what's something you really like that's coming up?
I love that there are now that all of the major car companies are now creating their own electric vehicles.
Okay.
It used to be like a niche market.
Yeah.
But now everyone's like, all right, well, if this is the direction we're yeah. going in, then let's do it. So for me, EV charging stations is definitely something that we're laser focused on, but not just charging stations, but DC fast charging stations. So, you know, at a point, you know, it would take a couple of hours to charge a vehicle, especially in the public. Now you could charge a vehicle from empty to full in 30 minutes with right?
That's wild.
That is where the technology is
yeah.
headed. Man, that is exciting for me because yeah. That has been kind of an issue with the folks that I know that have, you know, EVs. They're
sure.
trying to find places to charge, and then they got to wait for somebody to sit there for a couple of hours. And,
yeah.
you know, so to have that technology where it's 30 minutes.
Right. Oh, that's incredible.
That's the direction.
To me, that's the real promise is having a vehicle that I literally bring home and plug in or whatever. And in the morning, you just drive. Yep. And, you know, you don't stop at a gas station, or a charging station. You just, on a typical day, it's got more than enough miles that you're going to use. And it seems like maybe we're getting closer to that sort of thing.
We're getting there. My dad just bought an electric Cadillac.
Okay. I was looking at those at the charity event there last weekend.
I missed that, and I really wanted to go, but I was out of town. But I tell you what, that thing is, and he's in Florida, so I haven't gotten an opportunity to drive it yet. But
gotcha.
I told him I'm just going to take a special trip. Just to drive a Cadillac.
That's it. That's awesome.
Very cool.
What as folks are just a little electrical tip since we're on that topic, as folks are looking at, you know, getting these things and they're adding these charging units to their home, mm-hmm. is there anything they need to know about this, or is there any things to look out for as you're thinking about that?
Yeah, well, for one, you got to make sure that you have the availability in your panel to add another circuit or two circuits or whatever you need.
Yeah.
Whatever you're using. So you want to make sure of that. If you don't have the availability, there are all kinds of incentives and things that National Grid gives to help pay for the upgrades to get to what you need. So for sure
that's a phenomenal advice.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this is a project for a professional electrician, one of these things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You don't want the average homeowner to try to install.
You're doing real
things.
Wiring with these things. Yeah. It's not a plug-in deal.
It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. These are the things that we talk about, you know, as we talk about these new opportunities, these new technologies. Here's a project that customers will call you for. Hey, I need this thing that didn't exist 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And that's why I can clearly tell why you get so excited about this technology.
So for me, I'm a little bit of a nerd, in case you guys didn't realize it. But so learning for me is exciting.
Yeah.
And being able to learn about something that is emerging that you haven't seen in your local area.
Yeah.
And to be able to say, hey, I'm good with these folks. I understand this technology, and we can bring this to you. That's the way to go, man.
That is such just in our local area, we've traditionally been known as an area that's a little behind mm-hmm. on some of these things. Mm-hmm. So to have somebody who is on the cutting edge, and exactly like you said, I can bring you this new thing.
Yes.
Is just a brilliant business strategy, I think, in any business.
Yeah.
But you're executing it and living it, and I love it. You mentioned a couple times, you know, kind of that continuing education and how you do that with your team. I was curious, what are some ways that you do that? You know, folks we talked about the apprenticeship. Now they're electricians and they're on the team, they're doing the thing, but mm-hmm. they want to learn this new stuff. Do you send them to classes?
Yep.
What do you do?
Yeah, we do. We literally invest in people's education.
That's
so
incredible.
We send them to classes, courses. A lot of these manufacturers of these emerging technologies, they have their own educational piece.
Okay.
So whatever we have to do to make sure that the folks that work for us get that education, we invest in it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it costs money, but I feel like that's an investment that's worth it.
How is that received by your team?
Yeah. So for the most part, my team's all excited about it as well. When I first brought this vision to them, no one batted an eye. Everyone was like, I love this. So I love that the folks that work for us have bought into the culture.
That's great.
Of what we're trying to do. And normally I have to select people because everyone's volunteering.
Sure. Wow.
Yeah, I want to do it. I'm like,
that's
all right,
awesome.
Cool. That's a good thing. So now I got to select, you know, who. I think the important part is to invest in specifically young people that have, you know, not been out of school for too long.
Okay.
That can learn. And then what happens is they'll teach some of the other folks that may have a barrier to sitting in that class or sitting online and learning.
That's brilliant.
So it's really about you know, the culture and the community of the company, and making sure that we avail ourselves to people with different learning styles. to make sure that everyone learns it.
I think that's so wise from a big picture standpoint. You know, the goal to continue, sure. But like you said, there's some folks that, you know, they don't want to sit in a class, or they might even be the type like a lot of us who don't learn well in that setting, you know. But you've been able to leverage the folks that do to help. It's brilliant.
You got
to
have a good mix of the young, the older, the, you know, because there's that old wise person, sure, right, that has all of these experiences that the young person doesn't.
Yeah.
And then you have the younger folks that have this willingness to learn some new technology, and they're willing to teach it. So it's a good balance.
It's incredible. What you got going on is just my, and that's why I love doing these podcasts, is I just learn more and more and more. I knew that you introduced the president. I had no idea that he had told your story at that second event. Like, it's things like these that are just incredible. You see these incredible people around, you see them in the news, you see her all over the place, your beautiful trucks with a nice logo on them, you see all over town, you know, but to learn about these things is pretty cool.
I put that speech on my website.
Of course.
So if you go to www.luminarysyr.com, it's one of the first things that comes up in the About Me section is the president telling my story.
I mean,
I should have put the reaction video on there.
What better PR could there possibly be, you know, than the leader of the free world saying nice things about
you? Yeah, right.
I don't know. To me, that's pretty.
Yeah, he's a sweet,
that's pretty
guy
big
too.
Time.
He's a nice guy, and he told a joke when I finished introducing him. He comes and shakes my hand, and he tells me a joke. And it was funny. It wasn't nearly as funny as I made it, but it's the president. You laugh,
right?
You laugh like he's a comedian on stage, man. But he's sweet, man. Sweet man. Sweet man.
I'll tell you what. Many years ago, when it was the end of his term as vice president, he came to Syracuse and gave a speech for a politician at the airport over here, and I was like, you know, this close to him. It was an incredible thing. And to hear him talk about his connection to Syracuse, like it was, you know, clearly unscripted, clearly from the heart. And it's like, this guy knows us.
Yeah, yes, he does.
And that was always one of the best speeches I had ever seen, and always admired him for that. That was pretty cool that he has that connection here. And of course, now he's got a favorite electrician.
Right. He can call me anytime if you're listening. You can come wherever you are.
He's got to have like a, you know, a new place to hang out now. Needs some new lighting, you know.
He's got a library that's going to be coming up at some point, right?
Need some solar panels, you know, that's the sort of thing,
all of
right?
That. All of that.
We can do all of that. That's so cool. What are some of the challenges that you're facing in this business? And then the other side of that is what things are opportunities in this business for you?
One of the things I think that's a challenge is that I mentioned before, that the folks don't necessarily know, you know, you think, man, I gotta put all this money into, you know, doing whatever whatever sustainable piece that I want to add to my business or my home. But, you know, I think not having that education is a barrier. It's also an opportunity for us to educate folks, right? So I think some of the barriers in this, a lot of the barriers in this are opportunities.
That's it right there.
You know, folks don't know, you know, it does cost money, you know, up front, but people don't know what the savings are afterwards.
Right.
So we're here to help with that. We're also, I think, people also don't know about all of the new technologies and the things that are out there. And so an opportunity again for us to educate folks, and hopefully along the lines we'll gain some customers that are interested in whatever these technologies are that we are presenting. So
I mean, I think that's absolutely the right approach. You know, like you said, it is a challenge because the market isn't necessarily, they're not knowing enough to ask for it. But when you're the one that presents it to them, you might be the first one that presents it to them and go, hey, I want that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I really appreciate just that mindset.
Yeah.
Because I think too many people might get stuck on the one side of the equation. as we talk about these folks and different people that you might find, let's identify a little bit. Who is your target customer? So say the most ideal person in the world is watching this podcast and they're going, I want green everything. Who might be that person?
I think anyone that owns a commercial space.
Okay.
Or an industrial space that's looking to be more efficient. Whether that's lights or introducing different innovations in technology that'll help be more efficient in producing some kind of a product.
Okay.
Right? Whatever that is.
So you're getting right into like the automation of processes and things.
Processes, automation, wow. Lighting. I mean, EV chargers, if you want to offer, another incentive to we're all suffering when it comes to, getting the best workforce out, right? And sometimes you got to offer incentives. Well, EV charging, it can be an incentive. Free charging for you to the public, it costs money. So you make money on them, but at the same time, you get to offer an incentive for your employees.
I have a friend that is extra loyal to his employer because they offer that. They give him an incentive to buy the car, but then they also have that charging at work.
Yep.
So it's interesting.
General contractors, builders.
Okay.
Obviously, that is never going to change from being our customer base just as an electrical contracting company.
Gotcha.
So that's definitely a customer base of ours. And even builders of new construction residential. There's residential technology that's out there as well. And hopefully, you guys will get to learn from one of our guests that'll come on the show and teach us about what kind of technology he has for residents.
Yeah. No, that's incredible. There's so many different opportunities. I wanted to just talk a little bit more on you touched on folks that want to be a little more efficient, things like that. Obviously save money, right? In your factory, in your big commercial property. Do you need to be a certain size before it makes sense to look at some of these efficiencies?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I mean, even in terms of lighting, right? You save so much money with LED lights that it's insane how much money you can spend just doing something that simple. And that's where New York State started, right? New York State's like, hey, how about you put these CFLs in?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it went to LEDs and it's always, there's always efficiency in lighting because we need lights.
That's
the one thing that we operate the most in our houses. Right. And so no, you don't have to be a certain size. You can start where you are, with something as simple as lighting and you'll see the differences. And then we may tell you about, more efficient, panels or something like that, or breakers for panels that are more efficient.
Really?
There are breakers that you can literally...
I thought a breaker was just like a chunk, like a switch. It just like closed the circuit.
Smart breakers exist.
What?
You can literally control a breaker from your phone.
It's not going to text me, is it?
Nope. That's funny. No, you just go on this app and you say, you know what? I'm out of town and there are certain things that don't need to run while I'm out of town. Boop, 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 boop. Just turn the breaker off right from your phone.
Damn.
That's cool.
See, I just, all this automation worries me just a little bit because I could just see one day I'm on vacation and, my refrigerator texts me and the circuit. And, yo, man, listen, the ice maker's really been dragging on me. Yeah, I mind if I shut down for a little while? It's like, no, man, we need the fridge, But
my fridge
maybe
always,
they won't work that
my
way.
Fridge always texts me when someone leaves the door open. So I actually get
all
that.
All right, I see that. I would go for that. See, these are the things we need in our
we
lives.
We do.
Modern conveniences.
It is. It is. And I'll make a phone call. Hey, you left the refrigerator open. So.
You know what's funny? So many of these things have been, or at least a similar technology, at least has been around for like 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, in the 90s, when I started my first business as a teenager in computers, I thought home automation was it. And I thought that was coming like the following year.
Yeah.
Because they had things at that time that could do open the blinds and set the temperature. And, you know, it's a lot more, I would say, complicated, but easier to use these days.
Yeah.
A lot more flexible. And I'm glad to see that these things are starting to come to be, because it's, you know, it's not just about convenience. Like you said, it's saving you money and making life better.
Yeah. I mean,
better.
You think about just electricity and electronics and the things that we use now, and everything, you know, from our phones and our laptops and things that we plug in uses DC power.
Yeah.
But what we do is we take AC power and convert it to DC power just to make sure that we can plug these things in. Mm-hmm. Well, why not cut out the middleman? There's DC. You can literally direct DC.
So, why wasn't that sort of always the way? Why do we use AC?
That's a good question. That is a good question. I think AC was just at the time easier. Once when AC came out back in you know, those days, it was just an easier technology at the time. But now, because things have changed and evolved, we use a lot more DC than we know, than we even realize. Even LED lights, that's DC that we convert AC to DC to light, you know? So why not skip that AC part of it and just go straight DC?
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, that's, you know, if folks are familiar, we have these literally everywhere. These, you call them like a wall wart, right? Yeah. The black brick power adapter that takes up your entire power strip and doesn't allow you to plug anything else in. But that's what that is,
that's
right?
What it
that's
is.
Converting, it's
converting
into
DC
into the device.
So what we have, so that's where battery storages come in now. Where we're bringing in AC, we're still converting it into battery storage or into batteries, but we're able to store power now, right? You get to store power, and then when you're going from a battery to, let's say, an LED light. Now you don't need that big block that converts it. You literally can plug right into the light fixture DC.
That's where it's at. That's what we need. I feel like you're going to see more of that. And I know you and I, we were talking previously about PoE technology, right? Where you can even get lights that way, right?
Yeah. There's a hotel, I believe it's in Connecticut.
Okay.
And the entire building is running off of PoE power.
That's incredible. For those who know, PoE, power over Ethernet. That's what us computer guys have been. That's our only dipping our toe into the electrical world is knowing how many wattages, how many watts you need for your devices. But the same network cable that you might use for your computer can also carry electricity. So that's where you get like your security cameras and office phones often. But now, because they carry electricity, like you said, we can power all kinds of things with these.
Yep, all kinds. I met the guy, which I'm going to attempt to get him on the show, but I met the guy that was in charge of that project, hotel, at a conference. And I have his number, so I'm going to try to get him
over here.
I'd love to have him talk about that.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't come to talk about it, we'll be talking about it because it's a big deal.
Was that, it's sort of like a proof of concept? Is that why they did that one building, or are they?
I think there's two of them now.
Okay.
I believe there's one in Texas. I believe he's from Texas. I believe there's one in Texas, and then there's one in Connecticut. I'm still baffled by it. He showed us the technology while we were there, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
So I've got to assume that it goes a little beyond what I'm used to in terms of just network switches that provide the power and do these things, right? It's got to be a different level to do these sorts of things, right?
It's network switches that provide the power.
Really? Just
I'm sure there's a you know, it's a specific kind, but it's the same concept. Like, there's a rack, and all of these things run off of these racks.
I mean, I want to say the biggest ones, the switches that we get are usually like 1,000 watt for like a 48 port.
Yeah.
So I could see, especially when we're talking LED lights that don't draw.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's amazing. We'll have to look that one up.
I love this stuff.
I don't want to take up too much time.
No.
We may have to look it up on this.
Yeah, we got to figure this out because this is just too cool to me.
Very, very cool. These are the things that we educate ourselves on.
Yeah.
That maybe a lot of people locally don't right. know about. And this is the idea. Let us tell you about things that we know about and introduce you to people and technology that you may not know about.
Yeah.
We'll be the facilitator of that.
And so right now, just to take it back, you know, without this super cool kind of the everyday, I would say, technology or construction these days, you can pull electricity, electrical wire, and data like Cat5, things like that. Are there other types of things that you're not pulling coax anymore in buildings or anything like that, are you?
Actually, that still happens
really?
Occasionally. It's not often, but it does. It's
wow.
It comes up every now and then. But then there's fiber,
okay.
right?
Yep.
Fiber optics is a big one
yeah.
that comes up, you know, especially with the more we use the internet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The more it's necessary. We do a lot of the fiber work that's done locally is like the airport. The uh-huh. airport is huge on
sure.
fiber. But, you know, buildings, just, you know, commercial buildings that obviously use internet, you know,
yeah.
they have fiber. It's just not as large of a scale as it is for, you know, for places like the airport. So there's that. There's fire alarm, right?
Okay.
People don't know that the electricians are the ones that
sure.
do fire alarm, you know, hardwired fire alarm.
Yeah.
Which that
so
even
your pole stations and your
yep.
sirens and all those things.
All
yeah.
of the things
yeah.
that, yep. Yep, all of that. And even, you know, that even ties into the HVAC systems. You know, if there's a fire somewhere, they have to shut the air off in
sure.
certain places, you know. So we do that kind of wiring.
Wow.
All kind of low voltage security cable,
okay.
you know, that kind of thing. All kinds of
work. I find that interesting. And, you know, we've touched on it so many times about the education and things. But as you describe these things, you know, the number of things that are almost sort of outside of your field that you have to understand to do your job,
yes.
I think are yeah. pretty interesting.
Yeah, like HVAC
right.
and plumbing. We always have to provide the power to all of these things.
Sure.
Everything needs power. So there's nothing in a building that exists without some sort of power involved, except for maybe ceilings. I don't
you know, I mean, you
walls.
Know, you never know. You get these walls that are nothing but
yeah, like a
video,
like the video wall that's behind
yeah.
us here. This one,
yeah. I think I gotta talk
that
to you
needed
about some
electricity.
I gotta talk to you about some power conditioning for that. Actually, anyway.
Okay, we got you.
so many of these things, and I love, and we can nerd out about them all day long. But let's go one step further, and then we'll kind of bring it to the end for our first episode. I think. What's coming in the next 5-10 years of all this craziness we're talking about?
I definitely think smart grids are going to be it. I think smart grids are the wave of the future, the near future.
So you mentioned them a couple times.
Yep.
If you could, just in a real basic nutshell, what is a smart grid?
Basically, it is a it is its own power generation system.
I see.
So instead of going from, you know, National Grid and what they offer through, you know, their power lines, it's things like wind energy and solar energy that create its own kind of ecosystem to sustain, you know, housing, you know, a residential area.
I see.
Could run completely off of the grid. And these are smart grids.
So like one neighborhood can have
its own grid.
And
that also feeds back into National Grid to.
But that also, it sounds like
power.
Maybe sort of breaks you away from the monopoly of the one power company in town.
Maybe.
Does it? Yeah. Okay.
Maybe. If
I like that.
If that's what you're into.
Guys are going to show up in baseball bats here.
I don't want to fight. Here, you know, the thing about the smart grids is it can also feed back into the
sure.
grid. So it helps everyone.
And it's fed, you generate this power through these renewables, right?
All
so
renewable
with your solar
energies.
and your yep. wind and things. Okay. I love this.
Yeah.
This is so cool.
I think that's the wave of the future right now. And with Syracuse being nominated as a smart city.
Yeah, yeah.
A smart hub. Is
yep.
that what it is?
Yep.
Honestly, I think that part of that technology is going to be incorporated in that.
That would be incredible. Imagine how many folks that would help.
We're here to do it.
Yes.
Luminary is here to do it.
The people that can do it. Right here. Let's go.
We're well-versed on it, and so we're here to provide it.
That's so cool. That's so cool, Shawnee. Future segments. I know we've kind of given the tease in terms of what folks can expect from this podcast in the future, but other things that they might want to know that they can look forward to that we haven't talked about, if anything.
I talked a lot about the emerging technologies in terms of, how they operate in your businesses. But mm-hmm. I think another thing that I'd like to talk about is emerging technologies in the tools that we use.
Oh, okay. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, because the electricians will love this, and
sure.
other electrical contractors would love this, but... I also talked about being more efficient.
Yeah.
And there are tools and things that make our jobs a lot easier and more efficient, which in turn costs less money for our customers.
Yeah.
So that's another part of what we'd like to introduce is just, new technology and new tools.
I love that. Let's cover the table in Milwaukee stuff and
freaking love
see what they got.
I love Milwaukee, by the way. I don't know. They just invest so much into they go on job sites, right? And
yeah.
They work with electricians and they say, "Well, what will make this better for you?"
Yeah.
Okay. And then they go and they make it. So
I love it.
But it's not just them. And there's so much technology out there. That's available to us that could make us a lot more efficient. So that's a part of what we'll be introducing too.
I feel like there's a market where they've really realized that there is a lot of room for innovation in tools.
Yeah.
Where for years it was, we'll just make a hammer and a screwdriver and maybe a different color.
Yeah.
But now we're actually getting some things that, like you said, really actually save you some time and
battery powered jackhammers. Can you believe that?
What?
I don't even know how you do. Now the battery is about as long as this table, but battery powered jackhammers.
Incredible.
Sometimes you're in a place where you don't have any power.
Hey, and you got to break some concrete.
Strap that battery on your back. Let's go.
I love it. I love it. Shawnee, the current conversation. I love this podcast. This is so much fun. We're going to have so much fun. Anything else we should tell folks before we say goodbye?
Just stay tuned. I think you'll learn a lot. And at some point you'll give us a call and say, "Hey, I saw something on that podcast that I really have to have." And then we'll be happy to provide that for you.
That's it. I love that. I love it. Thanks, guys. Join us next time.
So this next time.